and gentlemen, it is the Wine Podcast. Let's give it up for him, everybody. Live studio audience in here. Please, please, everyone sit down. Sit down. It's Nick Bob Beaurude. Welcome into the Nick Bob Podcast. Wine Pod Part 2. We have already... Ooh, I hope that picked up on the microphones. We've already opened the wine. Ready for the first sip? Here we go. Ooh, that's good.
That's really good.
Whoa. Oh, we are taping this on November 26th. It's a Tuesday night. It's snowing outside, but it doesn't matter because I'm with you and we're drinking wine. And we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, the snow decided to show up today and it got cold. I mean, it was 60 degrees the last couple days.
It's crazy.
Everybody's been outside.
Soaking up things, various activities.
Oh, yeah. So it's...
Here's the agenda for the day, my friend. We, of course, are going to get in-depth into the Iowa game, get you all set for Black Friday. You rewatch. I mean, you are like, you are going above and beyond the call of duty at this point in your life.
I feel like I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed again with Husker football.
I love it.
It's been great.
So you watched the Iowa game from a year ago. So we'll get into revisiting last year. I want to get into the rivalry of Iowa and Nebraska. Then we'll preview the game. We'll do all that stuff. That's coming up later at the end of the pod, but it's obviously Thanksgiving's on the top of everybody's brain. And so I have Thanksgiving food power rankings. I have 10 thoughts on Thanksgiving that I'm just going to, you have not heard any of these thoughts.
I know nothing.
Just bouncing it off you. Before we get into that, can we drink a little wine and just chat for a second? Before we get into like the nitty gritty stuff, do you want to just, I wrote down a couple of things. To talk about. Number one, have you seen the proposed NBA rules changes?
No, I have not.
So this was according to Woj and Zach Lowe, the NBA is seriously discussing changes from 78 game season, not 82. Whatever. You okay with that?
I think everybody's okay with that.
Nobody, I mean, but four games seems like, is that significant?
I think you do 10.
Nobody's
going to miss those games.
Four games seems bizarre. You would have a postseason play-in games for the 7 and the 8 seats. Ooh. So the way I think I understand it is like the before the playoffs would start, it would be like a single elimination, like maybe like the 7 through the 10. Like the 7 would play 10, 8 would play the 9, and then then they would meet to get into.
So it de-emphasizes tanking for more people.
Yes.
So essentially, how does that? But the people that are like the bottom of the barrel, do they have a chance to play? It's only for the.
I get the sense it's only the top 10
top
seeds
10
in
gets
the conference.
A chance to go, and those three teams sort of playing for the 8, 9, 10.
That's my understanding
spot,
of it.
Get the play in.
That's my understanding of it, which I'm okay with. I'm not.
That would be fun. That
would
be so
enjoyable.
Much fun.
Yeah. That would be enjoyable. I'm all in on that. There's also they're trying to do, and this is a, and you maybe would know. There's a Adam Silver is into stealing a European soccer model of like they do a mid-season tournament. It's a 30 team in-season tournament where, and it would start like right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and it would there would be bonus incentives for the teams who won with money, I guess. I'm kind of ho hum on that. Like, I just don't know how you're going to. You can't manufacture people caring about that. Like,
yeah.
I don't. People are still going to load manage that stuff. Like, do you have a hard time thinking about, like, think about in the middle of December turning on an NBA game and being like, this is for the midseason cup, and like guys are really like into it.
That's tough. So I think even if they cut four games, people are still going to load manage. If they cut 10 games, I think they're going to load manage it with 10 games.
Right.
So whatever they do, they're probably going to continue to find a way to just, hey, now these games are a little harder, so we're going to rest more. I'm not against the midseason cup or whatever they want to be.
Yeah.
But I don't think, especially when it's new, I don't see it. Anybody caring that much?
That's
initially,
people aren't going to care. There's not, especially when you can be like you can throw incentives on there. It's like these guys are making $250 million. You'd be like, you win this cup, you win $1 million. That's not.
It's like the All-Star game. Like they really don't care about the All-Star game.
Right.
I mean, to a level where it's like, yeah, let's not even play. I mean, the Pro Bowl should be, for football, should be banned. Yeah. You shouldn't even think about playing it because it's stupid. It really
is. Totally agree.
It's like, if you can't play a sport all out, like, why are we playing the sport?
Totally
like,
agree. Totally agree.
You know, go play a game of, you know.
Do whatever.
Do anything.
Go play Mario Kart. I'd rather watch Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson play Mario Kart.
What was that? What was that show where it was? You know, they used to do the obstacle course. Was that the NFL Pro Bowl like obstacle course day or something?
Maybe I don't know.
I think maybe the Pro Bowl. When I say
I've never watched one, and I'm being serious, and I'm not trying to. I've never watched 1 second of any Pro Bowl coverage. Just doesn't do it for me.
I used to watch when I was younger, but there was also like the day where they would do like things like tug of war. And, you know, it was like on the beach, though.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah.
That was funner.
Make it like a real world road rules challenge.
Yeah, basically that's what they should be doing. And for football players, they'll play for the check.
I would.
They'll play for,
because that's different.
You give them $50,000 each, they'll show up and they'll go for it.
I would be all for, if you make the Pro Bowl, you have to go, it turns into the real world. They all have to go live in like on a compound. And once a day, they have to do some sort of contest. They're broken to AFC, NFC. Now we're talking about something.
Who's
that would be
the hardest to live with?
Oh, God. Well, it would have been it. Clearly, it was Antonio Brown.
I was thinking Antonio Brown.
But he's now gone. But clearly, did you see Dwayne Haskins miss the final snap of their first win? He was taking a selfie with a fan.
See, don't you get kicked off the team for that?
Your boy Bill Callahan's the coach. He thought it was I should have done more dig. I didn't even know we'd get into this, but I think he said he thought the game was over. So like the backup Case Keenum had to come in and take the knee.
That's the world we're living in. I'm just telling
that
you.
That is that I, tells me like
I'm getting old when I start It's amazing. No, there's two I'll give you there's that moment right now makes me feel old. The second moment made me feel like I'm prehistoric all of a sudden.
What happened?
I read the paper. I'm reading the paper today. And
well, there you go. You're already prehistoric, right?
I'm reading
a physical paper. Shouts out to the Omaha World Herald. Yeah, Angel I get the Star. World I read it every day. I'm digital subscribers.
And there was a story about some kids broke into a shop, and one kid got away, and the shopkeeper tackled and pinned the kid down, called the police. Well, the mother for the kid that got pinned down is trying to sue.
No.
Because she thought that was unnecessary. And no. I yell at my wife, like, honey, you wouldn't believe this.
Yeah.
These parents don't want to discipline their children. And I was like, I thought, do I sound like an old man?
Are you official? That,
because that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what old men say.
Yeah.
Old men on the porch say you should be disciplining. I don't even have kids.
Did you fold the paper in an angry fashion?
A little bit. I was like, these kids and parents today.
No discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, though.
I felt so, but like it's also like it's funny though. There's a majority of people are like, yeah, you shouldn't hurt a kid. And I'm like,
God, you shouldn't rob a store.
I go, that
you
kid's
rob
a
store, you can get your ass kicked. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the NBA thing. And then I don't know what I think of this. They would reseed the conference finalists. So the way I understand that is like, so you get your you know, you get like last year it would have been, what was it? Portland, Golden State, Toronto, and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been Toronto, Golden State playing each other and Milwaukee and Portland playing each other.
Wow.
Which I don't, I'm ho-hum on that. I'd rather, if you're going to
As in divisions don't matter as.
Like, I think your final record. So, like, you get – so you're playing the playoffs the way I understand it. Now, there could be some people – you know, there's someone listening right now that's going to be like, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. But the way I understand it is you're playing the playoffs normal, and then it gets to the conference finals, and they take the records from the regular season and reseed.
Then what's the point of the – of divisions during the season?
Well, to me, it's like if you're going to reseed 1 through 16. Just
– well, yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, like – I think the advantage of having, you know, of the different divisions and, you know, is to have, if you're in a weak division, that's an advantage. Or if you're in a tough division, like, and as a player, that, you know, emphasizes you to go to a place that has a better chance to win, maybe.
Right?
So I don't know. And historically, we've always had him, so it's kind of weird to go away from.
What I think of it. I also, you know, I don't know. People are, you know, the Western Conference so dominant. I just like these things can be cyclical and overreact.
It'll always change.
That's the first thing I wrote down. I wanted to throw at you, real quick, and we won't go too far on this because me and you could go on this for the next 40 years. I am enjoying LeBron's season so much. For all the people last year that tried to write this guy off, say it was over, he's washed, it's done.
Who are these people, though? These people, they say this about Brady for the last 5 years. They say it about LeBron every year. They can't. I'm like, are we not watching the same people? These people that are clearly the best at what they do, and there's nothing about them that's like really dropping off. It's like, I don't know.
I took heat. So I was doing, and over the summer, you know, I host a national Fox Sports radio show on the weekends, and I had a take that I got a lot of pushback on. They're like, if you could have one quarterback for the next season, like right now, who would it be? And I said, I'd take Brady.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh God, are you living in the past? I'm like,
he won the Super Bowl.
He just won the Super Bowl. Like, I don't get it. I don't.
I think their memories are so short now. Or you can win a Super Bowl, and in that calendar year, they can decide from something in the off. Like, heard Brady was slow in minicamp. It's over. It's like, he just won the Super Bowl 3 months ago. Like,
I just don't. I don't. There's times where I just don't. Just because you're sick of them doesn't make them not excellent. So the LeBron thing, like, I'm not so sure that. It's like people want to act like his playoff run 2 years ago where he carried the team and then, you know, it had 51 in the first game at Golden State. And if J.R. Smith isn't an idiot and George Hill makes free throws, they win in game one. And then, you know, who the fuck knows what happens then? But people just want to act like that didn't happen. I mean, that was not that long ago. And he was like the best he's ever been.
No matter who wins the MVP, you still say, I got one pick on earth with my life on the line. You take LeBron James.
Yes. And so I'm just loving this year. So the Lakers have the best record in the NBA. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is leading the league in assists. And he's averaging 11 assists a game. And I don't know how much you've watched them. They kind of have it. Like, there's a chemistry and an energy around, like, team.
And I haven't watched. I've watched, you know, a quarter here, a quarter there of their team this year. This is sort of making assumptions. But I think a guy like Anthony Davis is a good complement to LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that can catch lobs, but he's also got enough game where he can get out of the block, and he just is not really a selfish guy.
No.
So all those things, I think, lend themselves to LeBron's game. Like, Dwayne Wade had those qualities, except for he was a smaller guy that
6'4".
But that was the only place where Dwayne and LeBron ran into trouble. It was like Dwayne wasn't really like a space guy, but Dwayne was also great on the post and great around the basket. So and he would cut. So like that was the stuff that Dwayne. It didn't matter what size he was; he could cut to the hoop. And LeBron and him could read each other's minds.
And him and Davis have a little
so
of that.
That's the most important thing. If him and Davis are showing that now, give them six more months.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Whoa.
And I mean, and then it's a team that on paper doesn't make any sense. Like Dwight Howard's having like a I'm back baby year. Like he is playing great. JaVale McGee's playing well for them.
That's
like,
LeBron and Anthony Davis. Dwight Howard is he's a generational. Not player, but a generational like body. Like his talent is.
Dwight Howard was really, really good for three years.
Oh, 8, 9, 10, 11.
8 to 11. Like homeboy was.
Number one.
He was going to the finals.
Yeah. He was the best center in the league.
Yes.
Quote unquote. And his issue is he's a guy that. I don't know.
I've never been a Dwight Howard.
I'm not a fan because it doesn't seem like he plays with.
He's got no competitive fire.
Yeah.
But this year he's kind of playing with some.
You have to, because that's the effect of LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team. You know every game's important. You know everybody's watching. And a guy like Howard needs that. He needs it to be important, and he needs it to feel like...
That's a good point. So, like, if he's playing on a shit team,
he's going to be... If he's in Washington, he's playing like shit right now. Yeah. Because he's in L.A. with those two guys, he's playing to his ceiling.
And they got my boy Connect Four, Rondo, on that team.
Rondo's just ripping pumpkins with his...
He's smashing pumpkins, listening to smashing pumpkins. But I miss great passers. By the way, it was Jason Williams, the white Jason Williams, like 44th birthday, like a week and a half ago. And I just watched like Jason Williams highlights. Just do yourself a favor and block out like 10 minutes.
I've done that multiple times.
And you're just going to want to go somewhere and make great passes. Okay, a couple more things before we get to Thanksgiving talk. December 10th, HBO documentary, Belichick Saban, The Art of Coaching. Are you all in? Because I'm all in.
Should we have a watch party?
Watch party. Yeah. It looks like they are just sitting and talking about like what we're, you know, and I just, those two guys, man. Coaches are fascinating.
You probably have the greatest pro and the greatest college football coach to ever live in the same room together.
Yeah. And they coach together. They know each other. They're going to be able to bounce off. They know, like, the only other person in the world that understands what, like, Bill Belichick deals, like, goes through is Saban and vice versa. You know?
Those guys are just...
I'm pumped.
I am too. But, yeah, those are, like, the two guys on earth that they want to do nothing but exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
If you said you have to retire and go do something else, they're going to just be like,
no.
What am I supposed to do with my life?
So, do we have a date night watch party December 10th?
December 10th, I'm in.
I think. Am I in town?
Pencil it in.
I think I'm in. I've literally on my calendar, I have nothing on December 10th. So, me and you. All right? Me and you.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
You want to take another drink of wine before we get into Thanksgiving talk? What do you want first from me? Do you want my top 10 things about Thanksgiving, or do you want to get into food right away?
Let's start with food. I'm interested how you'll rank food, because I drove by a Texas Roadhouse today, and that's not a joke. And I thought about you, and I thought, when's the last time you've been to Texas?
It's been a long time.
Do people know about your?
I was big Texas. I was a big Outback Steakhouse fan too.
Well, that's, I mean, do people know that?
Know that I'm a chain guy at times? My chain ways have slowly gone away.
You've gone high class with your steakhouse.
Nah, I don't know about that.
You think you've stepped up?
I've gotten into Laszlo's for a while here. Laszlo's gets the J-O-B done. Maeve always wants to go to Laszlo's, and so I'm always down for going to Laszlo's.
Well, for people that don't know, Nick Baugh, for a long time, was kind of known for... eating every other meal at a Outback Steakhouse or a Texas Roadhouse, to the point where, you know,
we're drinking, getting ready to go out on a Saturday night, and I go get Texas Roadhouse to go, and I little do I know I'm just getting ripped.
Oh, just shredded. And I mean, so we've got jokes for years about
Nick Baugh. I will say I don't like the peanuts on the ground store like thing. I'm just like, you're walking on like people like.
That's dirty.
That's disgusting. But the rolls at Texas Roadhouse, bruh, those things are.
I don't even know if I remember
them. Oh, what? You never had the cinnamon butter?
I did have the cinnamon butter.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that I remember. Yeah. Not the rolls, the butter I remember.
Oh, God. Okay, you ready for this?
Is this going to be mouthwatering or what are we getting? I'm already getting hungry.
Thanksgiving power rankings top five. Now, is the better way to do it to go 1 through 5 or 5 to 1?
5 to 1. You give me yours. I want to hear.
Some of this is going to be very specific to me, because everybody has little things at their family Thanksgiving that aren't necessarily, like, everyone maybe has like a dish or a thing that doesn't exist at every Thanksgiving necessarily. At least that's the way I think. A few of these
things. Are you going to give one by one? Are we going to discuss? Or are you going to give me your five and then?
No, we're going to go one. I'm going to give it to you. We'll discuss. We'll go to the next one.
Okay, give it to me.
Number five, pumpkin bars. I'm going dessert out the gates. You ever had a pumpkin bar? See, this feels like a Ba family thing.
I'm not a pumpkin guy.
Usually I'm not
of any kind.
You don't like pumpkin? I will say pumpkin pie, the way it looks is disgusting. You know, certain things look good. Pumpkin pie looks like you went out to like Walter White, New Mexico, and you're like digging up Tuco Salamanca, and that's what like it's just. But pumpkin, but you have to. You would love pumpkin bars.
There's enough sugar; it can be good. But I'm like, if you ever carved a pumpkin,
like when I was 10,
in the smell, yeah, I mean,
it's disgusting,
horrible, right?
It's disgusting.
And sometimes people bake the seeds, the pumpkin, and it's just pumpkin. Anything I think is terrible. I think
you're already. Do I need to leave? Is this pot over?
I'm considering it.
I'm surprised you don't, you at the, because you came to the Bob family Thanksgiving, you didn't have a pumpkin bar.
I may.
You probably had my grandma's six layer cake. Do you remember my grandma's six layer cake?
So that's where I'd go. Mercy. I'd go that.
Six layers, bruh. Chocolate cake, whipped cream, chocolate cake, whipped cream,
see,
chocolate
cake. Think about this. You now know that that's probably a better choice than the pumpkin bar because you're way more excited about the layers. That's what I'm saying.
I like layers of things. Okay, so my list has already gotten torn to shreds. Number four. See, now I'm off to a slow start. Really good dinner rolls. Important for using it to mop up the plate, Nick, to absorb.
Nick, I'm not so sure that's a great choice for four. I'm not so sure it doesn't need to move up. I'm talking three or two.
It's getting disrespected.
Three or two. The dinner rolls, butter, mopping up the gravy might be.
You have to have it.
It's up there as my favorite moment of Thanksgiving.
Of Thanksgiving. Like,
truly.
Do you save the entire roll for mop up
duty?
Don't
touch it.
It's the walk on at the end of the bench that gets subbed in that everyone's all fired up at the end of the.
I would argue it's a scholarship player. That I've burned his red shirt. I've burned that red shirt this year because he needs to play. He's too good. So I am saving him for the end of the game, but he's going in.
The people that, you know, it's like it's like we were watching The Simpsons before we started this. When Homer tried to take on that truck driver for like the biggest steak ever, and they start, and Marge is like, Homer, don't fill up on rolls. Homer was instantly going to eat rolls before he ate the steak. You never, if someone's eating a bunch of rolls before they get into their turkey and all that stuff, it's like, you might as well send that guy out.
Doing?
Out to the gutter at this point.
Yeah, you
establish the run, which is turkey, mashed potatoes, and you establish that before you go to burning people's red shirts.
So one of my wife's best friends, and this was, we're out to dinner with her, and you know, I know her well. She's a great gal. She's probably going to listen to this.
You're about to eviscerate her.
I'm going to eviscerate. So when she eats her meal, meal, and we always watch her. She saves the things she wants, she likes the most.
For the end?
For the end. So if it's like, if she gets like a steak, or it doesn't matter, you name it.
No.
She's going to eat everything around that until the thing she wants the most is the only thing left on the plate. And then she goes, and she's like, you can tell it's her whole process. And I love it. I sit there and I watch it because she finally told us what she does. But, and I'm like, wow.
But okay, so a couple things with that. Number one, that's risky that you won't be hungry.
That's what I told her.
The thing you want the most.
And that's the point of it is like when you said it, it's like, oh yeah, it's like, why would you not eat the best thing first and let the stuff you care less about to finish?
But also with that, are you a guy that will, this sounds like she is going to eat all of her, in this thing, she's going to eat all of her potatoes, all of her green beans, and then she eats everything one at a time?
Yeah, or just,
because what's your style? I like to hammer meat. I'm probably 3-1. I am going Discovery Channel meat.
I don't mix and match.
You're not a casserole creator.
If I got a piece of meat in the table, I'm eating that meat pretty much till it's toast. And then I'm going on
sides.
Then I'm going on sides. And then like,
because there's some people that like, Kim will like, my wife will like pre-cut everything, which is like, I don't have the patience to pre-cut. And then she'll like, you have like one bite of steak, one bite of potatoes, one bite of this, one bite of that, one bite of that, one bite of that. And we're all just like, oh my God. Okay. This just can't do it. I can't do it.
I know. It's
okay. So number four, the roll. You with me on that?
More than with you.
On my pumpkin bars?
No, pumpkin bars out the door.
You need to have a pumpkin bar. Come to my house and I'll give you a pumpkin bar.
I mean, I'd rather go to
no,
burn down a pumpkin
bar. I promise you would like a pumpkin bar. Okay. Number three. This feels like a Baugh thing. Scalloped corn. Have you ever had scalloped corn? I need to probably Google image it for you. Scalloped corn is, it's better than just regular corn, my friend. It's got like a little crust on top of it.
Yeah, let me see this.
So, it's bomb, bruh. Scalloped corn. I always go to the is that Kim's family is that doesn't do scalloped corn. It just hurts my heart.
That's Grandma Patty?
My grandma was huge on scalloped corn. Do you like corn?
I do like corn.
Like straight up, like baby corn? Baby got back corn?
Baby corn? Why is it baby corn?
I don't know.
You mean like the little corn that you... I think the little corn... Have you seen the little
thingy? The little corns are ridiculous.
I think those are obnoxious. What are those?
I don't know. What are? Like, where do they come from? I don't know. Are they like...
Do elves eat them
the
or
Keebler
what?
The Keebler elves are somewhere elves like...
Like who? People that have those... If you bring those into a party... You're never getting in.
I like your attitude right now. You're pretty judgmental.
Well,
on everybody's...
I've gotten a whole glass of wine
oh,
down.
Oh God. Okay. Well. Okay. So corn, scalloped corn, from but just corn.
I'm not against corn's a staple in Thanksgiving. That's like a five for me though. That's not a three.
I think what you're. I should have prepped you on this and had you come up with five because you find out when you got to put five down, it's harder than you think.
I'll come with it.
But okay, so that's number three.
Number two,
turkey.
That is Thanksgiving.
It's turkey. I mean, come on. Like, you can't make a power list and not have turkey in your top three.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. No, it's not Thanksgiving if it's not.
Now, one thing I did do was I didn't include gravy isn't its own thing, right? Or would you have gravy its own? Would gravy get its own ranking?
If you want me to give my ranking, let me just tell you something. Gravy's in it. And gravy's got its own slot.
You're killing me right now. I feel like I've laughed at everything you said for the past 30 minutes. But okay, quick side note question on turkey. How much gravy do you put on your turkey? What's your style there? Because if you go dry turkey, you might be like...
So think about this. If you go turkey with no gravy, turkey's out of the top five. I mean, if you don't have enough turkey, I mean, enough gravy to cover the turkey.
Oh, you're smothering it.
And to cover the you know, down in it. Turkey's not so good. If somebody, you know, walks over and they got turkey, no gravy, I'm just like,
oh, boy.
I kind of roll my eyes and say, Happy Thanksgiving. Like, good luck.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have, well, do you consider, one thing that I like to do is, use a little mashed potatoes to soften the...
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be all gravy, but you got to have something on top of the turkey to moisten up the turkey. Agree?
Go.
Okay.
That's a big
so piece. Number two, turkey, and then let's get to it.
Number one,
mashed potatoes. To me, the everything begins and ends. It's like it's not the most... It's not necessarily the headliner, but it's not Jordan... Ooh. You know, turkey's probably Jordan, but did Jordan win anything without Pippen? No. You need the mashed potatoes.
So you're putting Pippen number one and Jordan number two?
I just want to say that you have to have mashed potatoes.
Nick Bob,
the analogy.
Put Jordan
it's the analogy.
Two and
it's the analogy. It's the analogy. It's
Nick,
the analogy.
You just put Jordan at two.
The point is you can't have a successful meal without mashed potatoes.
I'll give you that. I am not going to argue mashed potatoes because mashed potatoes deserves its seat at the table.
So is it in your top five? Let me guess your top five. Turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, no, a roll, mashed potatoes, and then cookies?
So here's my dilemma. Here's my dilemma. Mashed potatoes as a kid, mashed potatoes and gravy. As a kid, it would have been turkey, gravy.
You don't care.
Mashed potatoes, corn, cookies.
And has a lot changed in your life?
Here's what's changed. Sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes.
See, I like
now.
Sweet potato fries. Sweet potato mash is kind of like.
Oh, they do sweet potatoes on Thanksgiving. And I'm telling you what, it's making a run at regular mashed potatoes with the gravy. And it's a toss-up now. You've got your hand raised.
I got a question.
Yep.
What? Can I just say something and we'll edit it out if it's stupid?
Yeah.
What is sweet potato pie? Like, what is that? Like, is it a pie? Like, is it literally it look probably, like a pie?
It probably looks like sweet mashed sweet potatoes, but it's got like a sugar and...
Is it got marshmallows on top of it?
Yeah, it's probably got like a little layer or something. That. Yeah, so I don't have that.
What do you put cranberry sauce on? I've never... Cranberry sauce is yet to make it on my plate in 35 Thanksgivings.
So same way, 35 Thanksgiving, no cranberry.
What's
stuffing? I'm a stuffing hater.
What is stuffing's like? Like they what exactly?
Stick things in a bird.
I think they took the leaves that fell from the fall, they ground them up, put a little grass in there, and then... baked it and that's stuffed.
I was expecting you to say stuffing, but I'm glad you didn't because there's no stuffing in that comes into my world.
No.
So yeah, but anyway, back to the list. Probably I might lead with gravy. Gravy, turkey, rolls.
It's like leading then, with ranch dressing.
And can I do both potatoes, mashed and sweet as my number four?
It's your list. It's your world.
Gosh, that's tough.
What's your dessert? I felt like you had to have a dessert.
I would go cookies.
But you just have like, I tried to make it like what you really have on Thanksgiving. You know what? I eat all the time because Kim's mom always, I love banana bread. I murder banana bread. Last time we went to Vegas, you and I went and made banana bread runs. It was great.
Man, well, they're good. I don't know if I get that every Thanksgiving. So right. I don't know if I have it. So maybe I'll finish with both potatoes, mashed and sweet, because I eat them both now. So I'm going to go the
five.
So
your plate will have mashed potatoes and like regular mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes on it?
I go multiple rounds. So some rounds are.
Yeah. Boring. Okay. All right. So there you go. That's a food ranking.
That was fun.
Wasn't that good? Okay. Now I just started writing things down over a cup of coffee today on just 10 thoughts on Thanksgiving or what I like about Thanksgiving, just observations about family things, all those things. So this might feel a little Seinfeldian, like what is the deal with, but so I'm going to give you one by one. You're going to react. All right. Let me have another drink of wine. Cause we got to finish this by the end of this bad boy.
Oh, you better get going here.
I think you might be ahead of me or we might be dead. Even we're on a pretty good pace here. Orlando pace. You want to give me a pour?
Yep. All right. Hold on here.
Keep her steady. Good.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. All right, I'm David Letterman. This is Top 10 Things I Like About Thanksgiving. Okay. Okay, number 10. It's the one time of year it's okay to overeat. And in fact, it is like it's what you're supposed to do. Going for seconds, thirds, fourths in any other setting is kind of like, honey, did you see Brandon? He had 3 helpings. Like, you're going to get gossiped about a little bit. But, you know, when one person, like, you get that, like, table talk. Like, one guy's like, well, I'm going for it again. They're like, attaboy, Brad, you're doing
it's
it.
It's a badge of honor.
It really is. Like, how many rounds you do? Like, I got 3 in, you know?
What's your, you normally 2 or 3?
I'm usually too good. Like, I'm talking, I go in that mug twice for real, But, and then the third one might be just like, you know, what do you do? I feel like you go like 4. You are, for a guy that is Mr. Slim and Trim, you, like.
I'm getting better. I got.
Okay, can I give a timeout? If you go to dinner with Bo Rude. Here's what's going to happen is like, first of all, you eat fast and then you try to act like you're not hawking other people's plates, but you are hawking these plates. And the moment someone, you know, that move of someone's done, there's a difference between someone that stops eating and is done. The second that person's done eating, you're like, oh, I'll eat that. And you, I call you the garbage disposal. You garbage disposal, then the rest. You eat your meal and then garbage disposal the rest of everybody else's plate.
I love eating.
But that's, so how many rounds you go?
I'm usually 3. I'm getting better at it, though. For a while there, you know, we'd go to this friend's house and it's almost like a party. They have a big buffet. It's really fun. But I was getting the point where there was 2 years. This is a few years ago where I would I'd go three rounds of big meals.
And KO yourself?
And I would sleep in the middle of a party. Like, there's 30 people around having a good time, and I'd be on the couch. I'd fall asleep because I would immediately be knocked out.
Right.
I'd put myself in a coma, like, 10 minutes after dinner. And I'm like, that's stupid. Like, you don't want to eat that much.
So, yeah, I'm at the point. There's a fine line.
Yeah, you don't even feel good. Like, no. I almost did it for, like, a... Like, yeah, like just, you say, it's the badge of honor. Like,
it's just what is acceptable that day.
Yeah, it's part of like this like Thanksgiving.
But I enjoy that.
Oh, you get that one day a year you just...
Real quick side note, bonus thing. What do you do... well, here, let me back up. This is bonus time. So we're already one
bonus
thing...
Bonus?
We're bonus time. We're in the double bonus already. Number one, are you a Thanksgiving lunch or dinner guy? Like, when do you want to have that meal? I want to have lunch. I want to be able to have leftovers that night. Waiting all day.
We've always done more of a dinner. Now it is.
To Fremont, we ate at like one.
I'm fine with either. I don't care. But now I do too because we go to my wife's.
Your wife's
in Stromsburg.
Yeah,
the Swedish capital, Nebraska, and we crush at noon, and then we go to a friend's house.
TRs. Or you go to the Hayes's?
Going to Hayes's at, you know, they eat about six. So I double up. So do you go to Kim's? Are you just
usually,
a one? Are you a one?
No, it's different this year. My parents are in Hawaii. Shouts out to Rich and Rayette. God, just living their best life. Even though my dad is just like, he called me, he's like, is a storm coming? And he wanted me to go check on something. It's like, you're in Hawaii. Stop worrying about a storm in Nebraska. Okay, but usually, honestly, what we've done at times is just have it on separate days.
That's probably a better way to do it.
It's hard to do it twice in one day.
Well, it's hard, and you got to travel. I
mean,
because you know Kim's parents are
Lincoln.
In Omaha too.
So we usually eat it about at my wife's family. We eat about like four.
Yeah, that's
in a perfect world. I mean, at like one.
I like so, one because then you can recover.
And then it also like. Then it makes it interesting how you structure your morning. Like if you're really trying to starve yourself or how you're going to structure your morning. Mm. You going to work out on Thanksgiving morning so you feel better about yourself?
A little bit,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, you kind of got into it. Adult napping is acceptable. Like it is acceptable behavior in the middle of a group of adults for another... Name another day. Where in a group of
unacceptable
frowned upon, you're getting woken up and saying, "Excuse me."
If you go to a party of any kind and you go to sleep, they're like, "What's wrong?
What is going on with that guy?"
On Thanksgiving, it's like Fred really hit the line hard.
You're like proud of him. You're proud of the guy that's snoring in the middle of the party.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I'm saying, like I said, that was me, and I like was like that. That's what you do. And now I'm like. I don't think I want to be snoring every Thanksgiving.
But at least it's acceptable on that day.
It is.
So adult napping, acceptable. Number three, football is a part of the fabric of the holiday. Like it is ingrained, like football and Thanksgiving are hand in hand, at least in our world and in the majority of worlds. I love that.
I'm trying to think. So... What's so awesome about that is there's people, I'm sure a lot of the people listening, they have, you know, Thanksgiving's almost the day where families who normally don't do anything, they'll say, we're going to play the family touch football or tackle football game or friends get together. I had some friends that they got together Thanksgiving morning and like, you know, they play tackle football or something.
Oh my God.
Right? It was really fun. My family never did that.
No, I didn't do that. We played horse. Horse with me.
Yeah, horse was good.
Shout out to basketball. But you always had the Lions on, and you always had the NFL. And then
it's Lions, Cowboys, Dolphins, there's the Packers. Those four teams always seemed to play.
Barry Sanders, it was just like I had a full belly, and I would watch Barry Sanders just be awesome. And you listen to John Madden be like, oh, the turkey with the turkey.
Oh, and John Madden.
John Madden's voice.
John Madden. With the turkey legs. That's good.
Isn't that good?
That makes me happy. Like, that's you good. Saying that.
That makes you feel good?
Like, Lions versus Packers watching Barry Sanders, Brett Favre, and John Madden's
voice.
With turkey legs.
Having a turkey leg.
That's, like, potential up there with, like, do you want to just die and go to heaven and that's heaven?
Like, if that's your final thought before your last breath, that's a decent final thought to have.
Like, I would take a bite of that turkey.
And just kick the bucket and call it good.
Man, be like, oh, he's out of it.
My John, but it's a down. It's almost. It's almost turns into the Bill Cosby with. The,
it's Cosby.
It almost goes there, but I can't quite balance it.
They're not gonna get it, Pat Summer.
They have the stuffing for you, John. No, that's not. That's like almost Kennedy. That almost. No, that's not good. I don't have that. But okay, football fat part of the holiday.
That's awesome.
Now we're getting crazy with some stuff here. Number four. This is for the older people. And older being like when you start dating and then you... The beauty of it is when you start dating and you get introduced to a new family or just when you're old enough to recognize these things. When someone in your family brings a new boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife into Thanksgiving and you get to just watch the stress of that person for that day, that dynamic is, that's a tough one. I mean, do you remember the first Stromsburg Thanksgiving you had with your wife?
You feel for anybody that has to do that because you're leaving your turf and you're going on their turf.
Oh, yeah. Everything they do is different and weird.
It's different. You're doing their things.
You probably got to hold in a bunch of farts for the course of like 10 hours.
As a man.
Like, oh, God. As a man, you're like, walk out of there floating like you're on the Thanksgiving Day parade. Thanks for Thanksgiving.
I think that's more first dates. It's both.
You better hope they got a loud fan in that bathroom going there and just let it rip, boy. I got that mug like Mickey Mouse just floating through the air. Haven't tooted in 10 hours. Okay, but that...
Yeah. No, it's... what was I saying? Oh, man.
Just that whole dynamic. Either you're the one.
Yeah, they got all the things. They got all their jokes. Oh, they know each other. You don't know anybody. You're just trying
not to be a stress form, man.
Well, you're trying not to be an idiot.
What's your go-to? Like if someone, so Court's got a bunch of, your wife's got some brothers and sisters. Like if they would bring a significant other, are you going to be out of your way, go talk to them? What's your style? I balance it a little bit.
I balance. I mean, some of them are younger, so.
And you don't want to be a jerk, you know? But that, you also like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's.
Yeah,
I just. You want to be friendly to everybody, but.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that whole dynamic is fantastic to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. The next one, what am I? Might be number six. Lost count already. This one doesn't have to expand, but leftovers, Thanksgiving leftovers, fantastic. You got to love it, right? We don't need to expand on that. Everybody knows what that is. Number seven, it's kind of sad when you graduate from the kids' table to the adult table. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to hang on to the kids' table for as long as possible. Even now, if I got my plate of everything I want and I see the kids' table and then I ever look over the adult table, like I kind of want to go to the kids' table.
You know, I'm not around kids, like the kids that I am around. So one of the Thanksgivings, there's no kids. And the other one, the kids are all really young. They're like 2, 3, 4, 5. So like, that's not like, you know, 8 to 15 is still the kids table. But that's like a kids table I want to be at. Not 2, 3. 2, 3, you're drawing.
Yeah, 2, 3 is just, you got kids spitting Barney. Up. And I don't
want to be at that table.
Yeah.
I got no interest in that table.
But you know, like honestly, you know, like how did you know when you were a man? And there's a lot of ways to qualify that. But like one of the ways you know you're like when you are. Oh no! Is he gonna spit it out? We almost got a full fledged spit out. Keep it together over there, bro. Keep it freaking together. There's a lot of ways to know. I'll try to say it. But there are a lot of ways for you to know that you've become an adult. One of them is where do you sit at Thanksgiving? Like, I feel like I sat with the kids. Now, granted, my kids' table were like my cousins. Because we were all the same age. So it was like, in our eyes, that was the kids' table, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's a seminal moment to me. When you are no longer at the kids' table.
It's funny. I've been away from, like, just my family Thanksgiving. We've been at, like, a bigger Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a little
for
different.
Long enough where it's a free-for-all. But I can only imagine if you're at the same one every year, the same people, it is like it's a step. You move that table, and it's a moment where you go, you're with us now.
Right.
You're no longer over there. You're over here.
It's weird, right?
It's weird.
The next one. This one. There's two that are kind of like cheesy, but like whatever. Because you understand this. It's a great feeling. We talk about the awkwardness when you're the new person. You know what's a great feeling is when you are officially comfortable with your girlfriend's family or wife's family.
Yes.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
And not only are you comfortable, you love everyone there. You like thoroughly, really enjoy seeing these people. You're good. That's a good feeling.
You're in. You don't worry anymore.
Yep. It's all good.
Yep.
The next one. I've lost count. What is someone's count? I'm like an 8, maybe.
What number am I on here?
What number am I on with? Yeah.
The unspoken battles for the good spot on the couch or the good chair. If there's one recliner or if there's maybe only like a couple of goods that either have an angle at the TV, are comfortable, are going to be able to maximize potential naps.
See, that comes from an early Thanksgiving though. Like you eat earlier.
Yeah, see, this
your
is
watch,
all...
And you're, when you're for watching football... afternoon and night, that is an important thing. Like I said, I've shifted now where it seems to be more like I'm doing multiple.
That's what's hard about some of the stuff. Because everybody's Thanksgivings, you would think everyone's Thanksgiving experience is similar. It's not necessarily.
But that's universal. So that's universal to people who are at one place and they eat early. The place on the couch, because everybody's going to nap. If you're eating at noon and you eat a lot and the football's on, napping is about closing at 90%.
Yeah, you want a good spot on the couch.
That's important.
Number 9. I'm going into a lot of relationship stuff. There's nothing more hilarious than the drive over with your significant other and you get the reminders of names of your family's extended family and you still lack the confidence to pull the trigger when you see them. You're like, so the uncle's name's what? It's what? Okay, got it. And then you walk in and see him like, hey, man.
So with Jensen's, though.
The Jensen's have 70. They have.
They all go to their place?
Oh, they're all there.
All the extended family comes to their
pretty
place.
Much.
So are you looking at like 50 people?
No, it's not. I guess it's not that.
But you're over 20?
She's one of 7. And
they're all.
And they're all families there. And then, you know, you have aunts and uncles there. That's a lot. In my defense, I had a lot of names to get to know.
I'm not good with names, so.
But the whole you're getting the refreshers, and then it just there's something about you're just terrified to call them the wrong name, and so you just don't pull the trigger, even though you had studied leading up to the moment.
That's my life every day.
It's tough.
Like, oh God.
Yeah, that's tough. Then the last one. You may disagree with this because, I mean, I don't know, but you're like family to me. There's nothing quite like laughing with your family. Of all the kinds of laughs, there's, you know, there's coworker laughs, there's like, you know, your girlfriend laugh, there's friends laugh. There's nothing quite like when your family really gets howling.
Because it's the most pure, probably.
It is.
Right? Because it comes from the place that you've always known. And when you laugh with your family, There's no, you're not putting on ever.
No.
It comes from a place you've known forever and it feels good.
And good. And then obviously, you know, the Baugh family volume of laughter is.
You know who leads that volume?
To me?
You've always led it.
Chips. My uncle Chip's pretty loud.
Chip is loud.
Chips, just like.
He's like a baritone. He's like.
Chips. My laugh is loud. Chip's just loud.
Yeah, your laugh's
a my cousin scream. Scott's got a pretty loud laugh.
Yeah, Scotty.
But yeah, so there you go. There's 10 thoughts on Thanksgiving. How do we do okay on that? How we do on that? You feel okay about it?
I thought it was excellent. I think we're coming with it today.
Yeah, we're pretty good today. Let me take
how's our wine intake?
I don't know. I mean, how we doing here?
Let's finish this thing off here. Hold on. Here.
Okay, then we're going to get into some football here, my man.
I'm actually really excited to talk some football.
Okay, all right. And we have cashed the bottle of wine.
So the wine's in the glasses. It's out.
It's donezo. And how long have we been going? We're about 49 minutes, my friend. So we're trending in a good spot.
Perfect.
All right, a couple of things I want to ask you about. What's it like to play on Black Friday? Like, is that kind of weird? Because that seems like it'd be hard.
No, it's actually, I mean,
Just like,
you
for
do,
me,
you do Thanksgiving with the team. So there's like a team Thanksgiving.
Let people know this stuff because I'm sure a lot of people are fascinated on what it's like for a player on Thanksgiving week.
I mean, I can remember being at Colorado. You're at the hotel and you have turkey and you know. I got called out to say the prayer and I wasn't prepared. It was a meet the Fockers situation.
Really?
Yeah, I was not ready. Kellyanne called me out and I was like, you know, I wasn't listening.
You were thinking about your gravy.
And I was like, I had to do the team
gravy
prayer,
on the brain.
You know, in front of everybody, and it was a disaster. So
was it bad?
Well, because I wasn't ready for it, so I had nothing up top, you know? So I was like, you know.
Dear God, I want to say thanks to Stuart Bradley and his various haircuts and his great hairline and his enormous frame.
It was like, God, you're a good God. Thanksgiving's
good. You know, you're a type of guy that I would, you know, say, you know, you're a good guy. You know, it's good, good doing some good things. I'm sure you have some things you wish you had back, but you're doing some good things. Is that pretty much what it was?
Oh, it was atrocious. So anyway, but to get it back on subject, terrible. But you're like in a hotel, or you're probably, you know, at the stadium, and you do like a dinner. So you do a dinner with your team. You don't get to do like a family Thanksgiving. But then the game.
It's kind of a bummer, though.
A little bit. You're with your boys, though. And
and here's the thing people can understand. This sounds cheesy, too. I'm full of cheese today.
You are full
of cheese. I am full of cheese. How about that? Your team kind of becomes like, I know that sounds like it's my brother, man. They like that whole group. There is a family feel to it. Your coaches, it's really like a team.
We were rare.
Or like a family.
You were at Creighton, I'm at Nebraska, and we were local guys. We could go be with our family because we were in town, but the rest of these guys, majority of these guys on our team, they can't go home.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I brought Omar Wilkes to the Baugh family Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, I would bring people that couldn't go home. And Omar in L.A., he can't go to L.A.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so it's important, I think, to have it with, you know, the guys on your team that can't go home. But what's really cool about, and this is why I was so adamantly against when I heard they were trying to get rid of that. But like, you know, it's a special day to play football. It's like we said, everybody's
center stage, man.
Yeah, well, everybody's already in football mode with their families. It's Thanksgiving. You play football with your family, right? But you know you're one of like two or three games, and the whole country is watching you, and you know it.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
You get to be center stage with everyone watching, and so it's like,
and football's top of mind.
Like, it's the greatest time to be playing football. There might not be a better time to be like a better weekend to play football than Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
So we were fortunate enough to come out of the 70s as a national champion team, and as TV took off, we got that game with Oklahoma. We got that game. We got the Thanksgiving Day
Black Friday game,
and we've held on to it. Like, that's a gift. That is like a blessing to have.
Totally.
So the fact that we got it,
I couldn't believe when I heard we were going away from that. Like,
you had people that truly didn't get it, and they're not here anymore because they
right.
Didn't.
Honestly, that was probably like, that was the last straw.
Like,
and so it was that, and then they lost to Then I, of course, lost to Northern Illinois, and it was like, all right,
that was my straw. They could have beat 10 teams, and it's like, doesn't
you gave
get
up
it.
Black Friday? I'm done.
You don't get it.
Right.
You don't get it. So. Right. It's a special weekend, and the fact that we still got it, and now it's transitioning into Iowa as our
team.
Rival.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine, and I'm excited for it.
Okay, you bring up the word rival, because I think one of the things that's been, ever since Nebraska went into the Big Ten, one of the things that gets sacrificed, obviously, is rivalries, and you start manufacturing things and all that stuff. You know, you just don't have decades and decades and decades worth of playing a team, and that's hard. So there was natural Wisconsin stuff because of Barry Alvarez for that to be the rival, and they were kind of they're a good program. But then the Iowa thing, there's a reason that got chosen to be the Black Friday game, and bordering states, all that stuff. Now, Husker fans, I think, for the most part, have fought it a little bit, that they don't want to acknowledge Iowa as a rival. Because I think how I would explain it, and I'm curious to get your take on it, I think a lot of Husker fans view themselves as like they're a superior program to Iowa. And they don't, by acknowledging them as a rival, I think some Husker fans get nervous that that is like moving the program down a peg in their head. And I mean, some of that stuff's kind of silly.
That's interesting. I understand a little bit of the, if they're our rival, what does that say about us? But right now, they're better than us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to sort of adapt to the times. And that's a twofold thing, right? Adapt to the times where they're better than us right now as a program. So we do need to elevate to even be on their level at this point. But the second thing is this. We don't really have a rival anymore.
No.
Because we left our division where we had two. We had Oklahoma.
Colorado.
And Colorado.
And even I could argue Kansas State for a little bit. And like Kansas State was more of a rival than I would even view Iowa right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's from 30 years of...
But that's time. Nothing plays
around, right?
Right.
From fighting it out. So I do think we need to understand that a rivalry, even if you're trying to say, well, yeah, historically, we're a better program. That's true. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a rival. So my thought is like, they should be our rival because, one, we're bordering each other. They're a good program. We're a good program. We're going to be battling out the West for a while. But more than anything, that state, the state of Iowa, we're going to be fighting over about, call it 3 to 5 recruits every year. There's 3 to 5 recruits in Iowa that we're going to need and that Iowa's going to try to hold on to. And if we're better, we can probably get them. If they're better, they're going to hold on to them. Because Iowa's, you know, they're, call it 1.5 million more people than us.
Yeah, the biggest,
So we're at 1.9 million. They're probably closer to 3 million.
I don't know what it is, but something it's more, like that.
So we're 1.8, they're 3 something maybe. So they have more population. They're going to have more better players than we do in our state. So the recruiting of Iowa, even though you think, oh, 3 to 5 guys maybe a year, I think those 3 to 5 guys are going to be really
important. You need everything you can get.
Yeah.
You need every advantage, everything you can get.
There's going to be a couple linemen and a couple skill, like there's just going to be a couple guys that can go either way. And that's why that this rivalry is going to get more important because we're figuring out recruiting's getting harder. Everybody we can get from Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, and South Dakota
matters.
Is huge.
Matters a ton.
Huge. You got to get every good player to come to Nebraska. And right now, it's we're finding out it's becoming harder to get those guys.
Can I usually never, like this is a week people on Twitter are going at it, you know, Husker fans are going at it with Iowa fans and Iowa fans are going at it. I always don't engage in that, but I did send a tweet out today on Tuesday. And can I almost kind of homer out for a second?
Give it to me.
And so we talk about, you know, you're like, Iowa's they're better than Nebraska right now.
Yeah.
Recently, yes. Like the past, you want to go 5-8 years, yes. But what's interesting is, you know, because Iowa fans almost are like getting dismissive of Nebraska, which is like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's interesting is, I looked up these numbers. Iowa from 1999 till now. And the reason I chose 1999 is because that's when Kirk Ferentz was hired. Fair?
Yep.
So Iowa from 1999 to present day. Nebraska from 1999 to present day. Their records. Nebraska is 171 and 97. Iowa is 160 and 104. So Nebraska has a better record. Top 25 finishes. Nebraska has 10. Iowa has 7. Top 10 finishes. Iowa has 5. Nebraska has 3. 9 win or more seasons. Nebraska has 13. Iowa has 7. Division titles. Nebraska has 5. Iowa has 3. Conference titles. Nebraska has 1. Iowa has 2. Years flat out missed a bowl game. Nebraska has 4. Iowa has 4. And then we could also throw in the two obvious things. National championship game appearances. Nebraska has 1. Iowa has 0. Heisman Trophy winners. Nebraska has 1. Iowa has 0. And the reason I looked at those is to kind of illustrate the point of Nebraska's, how do I want to say this? I think those numbers are interesting because this has been Nebraska's worst 20-year stretch of football since like the 1960s, right? Prior to 1962.
Yeah.
So you go back 60 years.
Yeah.
And so Nebraska's worst 20-year stretch in more than 50 plus years is at least on par with, if not better than, Iowa.
Yeah, that's like if you compare us from 62 to 99 and them, we're smashing them.
Of course. And my point is from 99 even to 2019,
it's
pretty even. So I guess my thing is, as I homer out for a second, Iowa fans, like, you want to puff out your chest about, like, your last 20 years, which has been one of your best 20 years of your program history, coincides with Nebraska's worst 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's basically it's their last 5 years they've been better for
them.
They've
won four in a row against Nebraska, and I will acknowledge that 100 times out of 100. I got no problem acknowledging that.
And other than, like, I like those, like, I really liked when they had Chad Greenway and Abdul Hodge. Those were two, like, I love those. Those were great linebackers. They had really good.
I like
defense.
How Iowa plays. Like,
they were good for a couple years in the mid 2000s. But really, you talk about, except for these last 5 years, we don't even consider them.
They're not even in the same sentence.
It's like that play where Eric Crouch runs an option and then the Iowa defender comes up and he just says, "I'm going to truck you." And
yes.
That's how we saw Iowa. That play
embodies. Yeah.
Yeah, that embodies how we felt about Iowa. Like, it's a joke to us.
Right.
Now, like, we're taking them seriously.
Totally.
But they have taken 5 years out of 60 and said, and tried to flip the screen. Like, no, you can't do that.
That's the best way to put it. They tried to take 5-ish years and extrapolate that into, like, game, set, match, Iowa. And it's like, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Dude.
That's the problem with that rhetoric from them, is that it's not earned. You haven't earned it. It's a couple of years when we've been down. It's like saying Oklahoma's not a rival.
Because
they had those like 5 years in the 90s where they're like, oh, they're not so good. Well, guess what? Like 3 years later, they won a national title, and they've been on top ever since.
Yeah, and so I guess
that's what Iowa's trying to treat us. It's like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know who would treat like a potential rival, like a historical program like that. Because, like, that's a really odd move by
I guess them. I wanted to homer out for a second. Just to kind of be like, listen, like, I will acknowledge to Iowa fans, I will acknowledge the past 4 or 5 years, you have dominated Nebraska.
Yeah.
Kicked their teeth and dominated them.
Yeah.
I will not run from that. That's fine. And so I think every Husker fan will too. That's fine. But, like, also, you also got to see, first of all, you want to zoom all the way out? That ain't going to look good for you.
Yeah.
And even if you want to zoom to just 20 years since Ferentz arrived,
it still doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good for you.
Yeah. I mean, we were beating them Pelini's first few years. Like,
yeah.
We were beating them.
When they went 2-1 in the first three games. And the one loss was the game, I swear to God, or it might have been 3-1. I can't remember. Like,
I think it was 3-1.
Might have been 3. The one loss was the one, I swear to God, Bo Pelini was trying to get fired. Remember, he swung his hat at the official and all that stuff. I swear to God. I have this. I feel like I can tell this story now. I'm telling you, all the assistant coaches on that staff were telling all the recruiting guys, Sean Callahan, all those dudes, like, before the game, hey, really, like, basically, like, this is it. We really appreciate, you know, everything, you know, the coverage, all this stuff. Stay in touch. We'll be, like, all those assistants, meaning Bo himself, went into that game thinking it was over. So one of your wins early on was against a coach who thought he was going to get fired. Yeah. And then another win against Riley. I mean, Riley was so fired, it was like, all right, enough of Nick Baugh. How about that?
I like how much of a homer you were today.
How about that? And you know what? People, I'm known in some parts of the world as the Husker hater. But
that's funny.
It is hilarious to me. But, okay. Let's, before we get into this year, last year's game, you fired up on something called YouTube, I have to imagine, unless you kept it kept on your DVR from a year ago.
No, it's actually, I didn't know this existed, but, like, I don't know who does this, but there's breakdowns. They'll have the game in 40 minutes. So, go on YouTube, great. And I watch Wisconsin. I've watched a few games where they have last year's game on YouTube, and they'll cut right to the play. You can see every play of the game, though.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, it's so good. So you can really watch and see what happened. So I was, this is becoming part of my routine now, is I like to rewatch last year, see how it looked. And I got to be honest, we looked really good on offense.
And J.D. Spielman didn't play, if my memory serves me correct.
J.D. may
I'm
not been
I'm almost positive
there.
J.D. Spielman did not play.
Because Cade Warner was in, and we'll talk about him in a second. But essentially, Nebraska looked pretty dang good on offense. I mean, we had Stanley Morgan, we had Ozigbo, Maurice Washington had a good day. Martinez was
the
playing
baller.
Really
just.
Well. And so that I watched that game and was like, wow, that was our offense, okay? Then I checked out the defense, and a little bit different story. The Iowa tackles and their tight ends, especially the guy that was drafted, I think Hawkinson.
Yeah.
I mean, they dominated.
That's
us.
What I like. That was a game, and I don't want to we'll get into leading up to it, but that was a game. I mean, Nebraska lost on a last second field goal. But to me, that was one of those games that sometimes the final score doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. That was a game that Nebraska was really close to winning, but I felt like that was a game Nebraska got dominated for the majority of the time in the trenches.
So they did. Iowa's offense, they didn't have any huge plays, but they just pounded us. They pounded our defensive line for four quarters. And, it was just little by little they'd march down and get in. Nebraska's offense did a pretty good job and stayed in the game and kept us in. And actually Martinez, he scores a touchdown with 3 minutes to go and has an unbelievable two-point conversion where he scrambles around, runs all the way around the field, finds Cade Warner in the back of the end zone, catches it, gets his feet down, takes a big shot, and Nebraska ties the game up with 3 minutes. It all came back to me. I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
I remember how unbelievable that felt. What happens? Iowa marches down the field. We hold them to 4th and 8. And they're on their own 40. And they have a choice. Do they punt? Do they go for it? They go for it. Our defensive back is playing at about 15 yards. And their pro tight end runs 8 yards, turns around, and catches the ball.
Ball. And then they kick. Yeah.
Field goal. Ball game. But you realize, man, we got our butts kicked last year on defense. And really it came down to
a 4th and 8.
4th and 8. A couple That's how we were playing on offense last year. That's that momentum we had going into the end of the season.
Two things real quick. Number one, before I ask the big question I want to get to, I think it's important to remember, because I've been texting you about it. Their fake field goal led us back in the game. Their fake field goal was idiotic.
Big mistake.
Big mistake on their part. But I think that's important. It was a horrible decision. Bad. But you know what? It also, Nebraska, you – in order to let someone back in the game, they have to take advantage of it. And Nebraska took advantage of it. And Martinez went to another level. And that's what I want to ask you about. Because I think that's what people are trying to – what biggest difference between Martinez that you saw on last year's Iowa game and this – or do they look like the same dude, just different guys around him?
Really, look that much different, but he had
– he was balling.
He had Spielman, he had Ozigbo, and he had – Mo Washington had a handful big catches. They were thrown to Mo and wheel routes and screens and stuff. And it's where you kind of realize, you know what? Mo wasn't playing great for a while there. But
he – we
miss
him.
Hey, let me just tell you something. When you watch Wisconsin last year and Iowa last year, you go,
oh,
it's good to have Mo.
Well, even
– that guy
field. Even this year. The swing pass Colorado. I get all that stuff was blocked perfectly, but you know who had to basically become Nick. Usain Bolt?
Nick. I mean, let's just
Maurice Washington.
He becomes a matchup problem for people, and he's got skills.
Right.
He has his own issues. He's got his own off-the-field issues. I don't know. Maybe he'll be back one day. We don't know that. He's probably done with Nebraska.
My guess is he's done, but who knows?
But it's just he's also a guy that we – had a lot invested in. Expecting him to carry the load this year. And the fact that he's not there, then you have these guys that shouldn't probably be out there this year.
Right.
And then now Wandale's hurt. And I don't know if Wandale's playing this year, this week.
And Noah's done for the year. Torn meniscus. Noah's done.
Wandale's a question mark. Probably.
And is McCaffrey at four games?
McCaffrey's at three. I think he can play.
So he can play? Because that's important, too. I mean, just to have a guy that can play receiver. But that
I would argue that McCaffrey hasn't had 2 days of practice at receiver. It's like, do you want somebody that hasn't practiced receiver taking a lot of reps there?
Yeah, probably not. But, I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
Especially as a freshman quarterback. Like,
right.
I don't want a freshman quarterback taking 50 snaps at receiver.
So, with this game, and we talked a little about this on the recap pod, but, like, I think it bears repeating. Nebraska, the guys in that locker room, like, motivation should be through the roof. Like, I'm talking, these dudes should be foaming at the mouth for this game. First of all, you have a chance to go to a bowl game. Well, I should say, first of all, you have a team that has kicked your ass four straight times. Not just beat you. I know it was close, but like lined up and kind of just kicked you in the teeth for four straight years. You know how that goes. Like, usually you've been in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms. When a team beats you once, what's the narrative the week you're going to play that team? It's like, we owe those motherfuckers, right? Yeah. Like, hey, it's time. We're getting them back. We owe them. It's revenge time. Even for one loss. This is four straight. So that's number one. Then you have a chance to go to a bowl game. And it's your border rival. Like, all these things come together. Like, motivation should be through the roof.
If you have pride, if you're a person that has pride, it should be on full.
Oh, man.
It should be on full display this week, because this is the game. This is your chance to sort of redeem yourself. Because you know what? If everybody's being honest, this team.
Oh, it's been a we've been saying you can save the season, but that's with the understanding that the season's been a disappointment.
The season's been a disappointment. This team has underperformed remarkably. And this is their chance to say, we're going to finish with two wins and get to a bowl game for the program. Like, this is their way of getting the program to a better place.
Yeah.
And, like, to earn a little bit of respect back for the, just like, you know what? It wasn't up to standard.
This allows, you know, this is a, you just go like guy by guy and you can tell a motivation story for every guy. You know, guys like Mo Berry, Lamar Jackson, all those guys have been through a lot, but they've lost a lot. And this is an opportunity for your final time inside Memorial Stadium to at least have your final showing in Lincoln be a great one, and you get to go to a bowl, and you get to lay the foundation for what is to come.
All right, I'm going to call out four guys right now.
Give it to me.
Okay, I'm going to call out, this is like the on-air challenge. The Davis twins, Daniels, and Lamar Jackson. Those guys are seniors. Those guys are actually our four potential NFL guys. Those four.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys. They're seniors, and those are our potential, I think probably our only potential NFL guys out of that class. Those four guys have to be unbelievable.
It's time.
On Friday. And you know what? They all have talent. That's the thing. I think they've all shown signs, and they've shown flashes, and then they've had their moments where it's like, what would happen there?
Yeah.
Those four guys have to be at their best. The three down guys have to win. They have to be better than Iowa's offensive line, and Lamar Jackson has to be locked down and has to make some plays. He might have to get a pick. He might have to force a fumble. He's got all the skills to be able to do that if he wants to. Those four guys have to win the game for us. You know, Mo's in there, but Mo's not.
He's not as talented as
those other guys.
With all due respect,
Mo will play hard. I can count on Mo. Those other four have to elevate, and those four guys to me win or lose this game. Well, and Martinez, because Martinez has to be perfect, because we might not have Wandale, and
right, who
it'll
knows?
It'll be Martinez and five other guys that are just like
But you go down, I'm just saying, like, because that's perfect right there with calling out those four and challenging them. But also, you just go, like, guy by guy. It's like, hey, Adrian Martinez, you know what I've read and listened to on the radio the past couple days is people talking about an open competition in the spring. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, big boy? Like,
for real?
You know what I mean? Like, what do you think of that? You want to go have an open competition in spring? You know how you shut all that shit down? You beat Iowa, you go to a bowl game, you ball out, and you win a bowl. That's how you shut that stuff down. That's how you shut it down.
That's it. And
so if I'm Major Martinez, you'd be like, open competition. Time out. You want an open competition.
You know what's funny too? I don't know if you noticed this about him, but like he says all the right things. And I've seen this in him the last couple of weeks. There's this little bit of like, I think he's pissed off. I think he's pissed off that he knows he's got skills and he's freaking good. He's hearing this stuff and I think he wants to go.
Are you kidding?
Kiss my ass. I'm about to wreck you. I think that's in him, and that's why I've been backing him, and I see that. I like that.
So do I.
I like when I see that he says the right thing, but behind it, he's thinking, I'm about to do something.
For guys like him, you know, this O-line, like, you've taken strides, but this is a team that has been, like, you know, kicked your ass. Here we go.
Okay, so here's one to note. They got a really good defensive end.
Yeah, Epenenza is.
He's a pro guy.
I mean,
right?
You heard Frost say he goes with those colors, he might as well be playing for the Steelers.
So when you got a pro guy, I mean, Chase Young.
Well, I mean, that guy.
We found out that guy is nobody blocking
again,
that guy.
Again, he did 23andMe, and he was related to the Predator.
He was like, three parts. Western European and 97% Predator.
Predator, really? Huh. Do you know anybody in your family? Have you did a family tree?
From planet, who knows? So anyway, nobody's blocking Chase Young, but this guy's probably
guy's good, man.
You know, this guy's probably the B guy, if not the Wisconsin guy, for as a pass rusher. But this guy's the set. So our O-line should be like, all right, guess what? This is our challenge. Make somebody else beat us, not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing. We're calling out a lot of people right now,
but in a good way.
This is a challenge. Yes. Like, who wants to step up and win a game, and you know, elevate and take this thing to the next level? I mean, this is the time. This is an opportunity to me. What do we have to lose right now?
At some point, and I don't want to. Sometimes I think you have to, like, you can dumb it down to the point where it's not that simple. But like, a lot of this weekend is individual guys just saying enough, like putting their, you know, like drawing a line in the sand and being like, it's changing. This is my chance to change in the moment and a little bit of what has happened in behind me and change what's about to happen in front of me.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, literally, you could go, I feel like you could line up guy to guy and you could write a motivation story, a big motivation story for every dude.
And you know what? There's not a job on the field, truthfully, not a job that's secure.
No.
Right now, every guy should be playing for his job next year. And those four guys I mentioned to you.
Playing for the, yeah.
There's people right now watching them saying, are you NFL material?
Right.
Are you the real deal? And this is the type of game that they find out. Like, if these guys all play their butts off and elevate and we win, they're having a different story all of a sudden come
totally.
This spring.
Totally.
All of a sudden, those guys are like, totally. Oh, you just dominated Iowa. You guys overcame some things. You improved throughout the year. I think it's an opportunity.
For those guys, like, because in their defense, I mean, they've had so much change. Like, in their defense, they've had so much change and all that stuff. Like, not to let them off the hook, but like, you know, but this is a chance for them to send a message.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, yeah, it. I mean,
I'm excited. I've been geeked up all week. I'm excited for this game in a way that, like, more excited than Wisconsin, way more excited than Maryland. Way, like,
it's the biggest. Is it too much to call this, like, this feels like, I mean, you could say this about every game because, like, you have to get through certain games to make this a big game. This feels like the biggest game to date.
I mean, Ohio State was bigger in the moment because it was game day, right?
Yep.
So I'm not going to compare it to that. We've then lost. Maryland was big because
we had
to win it to even be in this game, but now this is the game.
This just feels like it's big, 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 big game for everyone, for Frost, for Martinez, for...
And Nick, I'm just telling you, this recruiting thing is so much more fragile than I think we're giving it credit.
Right.
Where this win, all of a sudden, every kid in Iowa just goes,
oh,
Nebraska isn't as dumpy as people are talking about. They just beat us. And they got this young quarterback that's supposed to be the real deal. Like, those things are recruiting, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, inject
that's honey,
life
baby.
And yeah,
that's honey. Like, that yeah. draws the bees there. Like, we need more of that. Like, we just right now we have too many doubting things happening.
Right.
So it's like we need some positives.
Okay, so we're at about an hour 20. Anything, like, I mean, I feel like you could say every game's like key, like, get off to a good start. Turnovers.
Don't let this team push you around. That's, to me, number one. This team pushed our defense around last year.
And here's the thing is they think, like, there is an element. I'm sure you've had this. I know we had this as football players. But, like, when you have let's flip it from the Iowa perspective. When you've punked a team for four straight years, you walk onto that field or that court thinking, why is today going to be any different? Like, we've punked you four straight years. We're going to punk you again.
Yeah.
You're a pussy. We're going to punk you. Like that, trust me, like AJ Epenenza is walking on that court thinking all those dudes are straight puss.
So, I mean, Stanley's played for a few years. Epenenza, like these guys have done this for a few years. So, really, advantage them right now. They have the advantage because they have that on us.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to overcome a lot. Like, we have to play our best game. And they need to not play theirs, and it hasn't been that way. But like I said, my number
don't
one.
Don't let them push you around.
Don't let them push you around. Our defensive line and our offensive line.
I think if they
don't let them push you around.
If those guys are if those guys are up for the fight, and Nebraska takes care of the ball, then because weather could be an issue. You look at the outlook and could be some. It looks like the weather's not going to be great,
yeah.
And you would think that probably favor Iowa, but whatever. Nebraska also won a game 9-6 versus Michigan State in a snow globe last year.
Yeah.
You know, but if the trenches, if Nebraska's up to the fight in there, and Nebraska takes care of the rock, I fully expect this thing to be real interesting in the final quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it was last year. It was last year, and they pushed us around. So, but we had our offensive skill was better. So that's the hard part is Nebraska in the red zone. Like, we have to get
points.
Yeah,
that's the other thing I was going to say.
When we get
down.
A chance.
Yeah.
And then defensively, just don't get pushed around. Keep it in front of you. And Iowa is Iowa then. Like, they'll march on you a little bit. They'll do some things. But they're not that explosive.
Well, and I mean, again, last year, you're talking about a team in last year that had two first-round tight ends.
Yeah, but that's their game, though. That's what they do. It's run the ball, action, pop it to these tight ends. That's their game. It's slow, it's methodical, it's ball control. That's fine. What we got to do, be physical, don't get pushed around, keep it in front of you, and then our offense has to score when they get a chance.
That's
when
the thing.
You're in the red, you got to get points every time.
I think the trenches, turnovers, and what the red zone numbers end up being tell the story. If you like those three things, if Nebraska's solid in the trenches, doesn't just have one of those crazy, like, oh my God, they've fumbled three times, you know, in one of those games, and then red zone, they're converting and they're like, then I think they could win.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, usually, like, prediction. I don't know what, like, I don't know.
I don't even really care about predictions.
I don't know.
I don't really know, man.
I just know that these dudes' motivation should be sky high, collectively, individually, you name it, however you want to frame it. Motivation should be through the roof. And I'm just excited that Nebraska salvaged it to even have this conversation.
Exactly. We have a chance, the chance to sort of just right the ships to go into the to next year. So
in the meantime, you enjoy your gravy. You enjoy your mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes.
Hey, send me a picture of your pumpkin bar, okay?
They're good. They are good. If someone presented a scenario or a situation, you'd be like, would Nick like this? You would know yes or no and be about 99% accurate. And I think I would know. I think you would like a pumpkin bar.
I would.
It's frosting on the top. It's good. Trust me, it's good.
No baby corn though?
No, we're a baby corn free family. Okay, that's what we're doing. All right, well, cheers one more time as we got our final drink of this wine to go. All right, in the meantime, guys, subscribe to the pod.
Download,
rate it, and review it, okay? That's what I need from you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We are, again, I'm full of cheese today, not to be too cheesy, but we're thankful for everyone that downloads and listens to the pod. And all the well wishes on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff would be like, hey man, loving the pod, like that stuff. I try to respond to every one of them. Sometimes it's hard with all the stuff that goes on, and when you have a 3-year-old tugging on you, it's like gets challenging. But we appreciate it. All right, we really really do. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy
Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your family, and hopefully we're talking about a Nebraska win. We're gonna take one final drink on the pod here. All right, here you go.
Cheers.
That's good. That's good. That is good. Happy Thanksgiving.
A Parkville Media Production.